You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. How white you are and well off, you can still discover that life is horrible.
Life is horrible, especially if you're appearing in Mean Girls, as written by Albert Camus.
That is kind of what this is. It's a weird.
It's like if you take Mean Girls and take all of the funny stuff out of it, have Albert Camus write it, and then Jean-Paul Sartre directs it, you pretty much got it.
I kept thinking Heathers, if Winona Ryder's character, like, had been more firmly integrated with the group of horrible Heathers, and then instead of Christian Slater, it's just the universe.
It's just the universe keeps killing you.
It said whatever God decided, Bill Murray's all right, we'll fuck with him for a while, but basically in the end, it's going to be okay. Yeah. It'll be a fun ride. And in this case, it was like, man, I fucking hate white bitches.
And, you know, the girls in it are pretty horrible, and so, yeah, there's a... There's a kind of a suspension of sympathy for a good long while.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if you're an adult, I imagine, like, if you're a teenager and you see this, you're either going to be like, good, I'm glad these bitches are getting it, or you're going to be like, oh shit, I am that bitch.
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's who they're talking to is the people who are like, oh, wow, maybe I really am a shallow,
yeah, no, I mean,
harm,
like,
hateful person.
I would have probably adored this movie if I saw it. Just because, like, much like when I saw Heathers, I was like, this is wonderful. I mean, when the I still remember Christian Slater's ultimate line, like, you know, apparently it's open season on assholes, and I'm just like, oh my god, I wish I had said that.
Well, you know, I mean, that one, of course, was sardonic humor.
Yes,
it's definitely a black comedy. This is not a comedy.
There's not comedy. In fact, this movie, which is kind of a good thing, because it already is taking note for note the device of Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. It's called Before I Fall, by the way.
Before I Fall, we have, you know, four girls who are the main characters, and the kind of Winona Ryder role is played by Zoe Deutsch, who's kind of a mean girl, and that she goes along with her friends, particularly her best friend Lindsay, who is definitely I can't remember the name of the Lord High Bitch in Mean Girls, but
yeah,
she's that character.
She's Heather.
She's Supreme Heather.
Or in Scream Girls term, she's the Chanel number one.
Right. They've been making fun of you know, and you know, making other people, the other odd marginalized girls in their schools' lives miserable for a while. But now it's not Valentine's Day. It's the day before Valentine's Day, which is called Cupid's Day in this school.
I was like, that's a thing?
You know, we live in a state where they have homecoming moms, so I'm not going to point any fingers at whatever the hell the Pacific Northwest tradition is.
I just found out the other day that Devil's Night from The Crow is in fact a real thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was made up for the movie. I had no idea.
No, people make up all kinds of horrible holidays to complement the other horrible holidays that we all celebrate. But yes, they go to Cupid's Day, which is everybody, you know, is kind of competing to get anonymous gifts of roses, you know, hopefully from your significant other, but if you don't have that, then from other people. And even if you do have that, the more you get, the more popular it is.
They used to do that in my high school on Valentine's Day, and I always was like, you guys don't see that this whole thing is supporting...
This is really, really fucked.
This is kind of fucked up. You're literally telling people who feel like outcasts, you're an outcast and nobody likes you.
It's the, you know, everybody who bitches about, like, you know, everybody getting a participation trophy, this is the exact opposite of that. It's like, what would build character in our children is if we made them feel horrible and unloved.
And the first, like, 30 minutes of this film is just that day. And honestly, it's really hard to watch.
I mean, it's hard to watch because it is like going back to high school. And yes, if that doesn't like send shivers up your spine, I don't know what would.
And you know, of course, we see that like the main girl, Zoe Deutsch's character Samantha, there's like a nice boy in the school who actually is trying to connect with her, who she completely treats like shit and ignores. And then there's the girl they all think is crazy, who they all actively throw things at and make fun of and call crazy. And it kind of culminates in a late night party where the girl shows up at the party and actively verbally assaults all the girls and then is chased out.
Yes.
Our heroines, if you will, leave in a car only to have something come out and hit their car, and the car crashes. And then the next thing you know, Samantha wakes up at the beginning of the next day with the same music playing.
Well, not the next day.
Not the next day.
She thinks it's the next day. She thinks she's just like, oh, I went to the party and I drank too much and I'm hungover now. And it's Saturday. And it's like, nope, because her little sister comes in just like she did the day before to try to get her up. Her parents are like, honey, your ride's here. You know, Lindsay's waiting for you outside. She's like, what are you fucking talking about? And, you know, slowly but surely she starts to go through the Bill Murray treatment.
Yeah. And instead of waking up to Sonny and Cher, she wakes up from that song that's playing on any given hard rock station anytime that you turn it on.
Yeah. I think it's Dangerous, like Britney Spears or something. Who knows?
I don't know.
Someone that I'm far too old to be listening to. But that Cargill probably knows.
Probably. Hey, man, I'll hand it to Cargill. He's always like, I know I like bad music.
Yes.
I don't care.
He likes the Mean Girl bubblegum pop.
Yeah, I mean, and so we see a series of her like starting to realize that, accept that this is a thing that no matter what I do, no matter what I change, I keep waking up.
And to credit her intelligence, she immediately is like, okay, we cannot go to that fucking party. And she actually managed to engineer it. She's like, I'm really feeling bad, you know, and all of her not only is there a big party, but her friends are all egging her on because this is the night she's supposedly going to lose her virginity to her, you know, kind of proto douchebag boyfriend.
Yeah, real slime ball.
And so she's like, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to do that. Let's go stay at my house. Let's just have a sleepover like we used to. And they're all like, you know, okay, what the hell? No big deal. We're seniors. We've been to enough parties. And she, all throughout it, she's kind of checking her phone because at, I believe, 12:39 was when the a.m. is when the accident happened. And the clock rolls over. She thinks she's fine. And then about an hour later, everybody's phone starts blowing up. And it turns out that the crazy girl that they've been making fun of all this time, who confronted her at the party, is dead. And everybody's like, you know, all the phone networks are blowing up.
Of course, takes Samantha a way long time to put together that the thing that needs to change here has something to do with that girl.
Them being horrible, because when you're, you know, sadly enough, when you are a horrible person in high school, generally you don't really know that you're a horrible person.
Yeah, or you know, even past high school.
Yeah.
I'm sure Donald Trump thinks he's great.
He thinks he's great. He certainly does, because he'll tell us at any given opportunity. But yeah, I mean, generally in that situation, these people that are kind of in the upper echelon, they don't have anybody telling them like, hey, you're kind of being a dick, because they're often coattailing. And like I said, the high princess of their group, Lindsay, is the meanest, and they're all kind of coattailing upon her. And things start to change when Samantha gets so frustrated, she's like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. You know, she does the Bill Murray thing again. You know, they hit that note.
Don't drive
angry.
She's
like, I'm going to dress goth, and I'm going to tell my friends, you know, how they've been talking to each other behind their back. Bloody, 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 blah. You know, I'm going to kiss that nice dude instead of the shithead I was going to lose my virginity to.
The main thing she doesn't do that is a Groundhog's Day, which a teenager, quite frankly, wouldn't, but Bill Murray's character did because he's an adult, is like, well, fuck it. If I'm trapped here for eternity, I'm going to learn to play the piano.
Yeah,
I'm going to learn to make ice sculpture.
Learn foreign languages. I'm going to learn something about everybody in this fucking town.
I'm going to take advantage of this. Yeah, right. That never occurs to her, of course, to do that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. She's still a high school student. student, and
she's like, more school? I'm going to use eternity for more school? No.
Ironically, that's one of the things I kind of like about this thing, because one of the things that is often said about high school students and young people in general is that they think they're immortal. And this is kind of a situation where it's like, okay, now you actually are immortal, but you're stuck. What are you going to do?
Yeah, the one thing, I will give this movie certain things, and then I'm going to talk about what I don't like about this film, that, A, these are not just realistically written high school kids, but even, like, it takes a turn where rather than just doing the obvious thing where she's like, well, fuck these girls, they're obviously terrible and they made me terrible, she realized they're just human beings.
They're just kids.
They're just kids. Yeah. They're really flawed too, and we have a real background, and I need to learn how best to deal with them and forgive them and not be part of what they're doing that's wrong at the same time, which was a remarkably mature thing for the movie to do.
Sure.
There's some interesting choices like that. What I don't like is that this movie is a depressing, miserable slog. It's so incredibly boring for most of its runtime. I think that this is a perfect movie for your average 14 or 15 year old to watch, your high school student, maybe on either side of that, but especially, horrible people.
Yeah, I think this may be a movie that every high school student should see.
But there's not much here past that, unfortunately. I just don't think that, it translates very well to an adult audience at all. I kept laughing because her father is played by Nicholas Lee, who famously played Agent Krychek on the X-Files. And I was like, well, there's your problem right there. He's clearly manipulating something with alien DNA.
It kind of does the thing that a couple of teen movies have done, is to get like actresses that I had a crush on when I was a kid and have them play the parents. Because Jennifer Beal from Flashdance and The L Word is playing her mom. She does fine. I think all of the young actresses do a fine job here. If you're above the age of 18, you're going to be looking at your watch a lot. The pace is fairly slow because there's a lot to get through. They have to do the day to show you what's going on, and then they have to go back and replay it several times.
And honestly, I never felt like there was enough here in this main character for me where I had any identification points whatsoever. Which, once again, this movie was totally not made for me. Even by the end, I was like, I still don't really like you.
I'm more of a teenage girl at heart, and I'm the first to admit that. And I didn't have, and I was a gloomy, gothy kid. So a lot of this movie appealed to me in the sense that I nerfed myself, and it was like, would I like this as a high school student? And the answer is definitely yes. Certainly, it's not sustainable a movie as, say, Heathers, which is something that I can go back and watch, or even like The Breakfast Club that I could go back and watch today. But I think young women especially and young people in general are going to have an easier time with this movie and are going to enjoy it. If you're a parent, like I said, you're probably going to be looking at your watch a couple of times, and you might actually be horrified to find out what your daughters have been up to. But by and large, I think the movie did what it set out to accomplish. And, if it's a bit of a Cure song, well, hey, I like listening to The Cure.
I wouldn't even put it at that level of quality, but go on with your final thoughts.
Okay, it's a Depeche Mode song.
Fair enough. I just found out that none of Depeche Mode was gay. I did not know that.
Really? Martin Gore isn't gay?
Yeah, I looked it up. They're all heterosexual.
Martin Gore!
They're married.
Oh.
I know.
He's got to be gay. He's in Depeche Mode.
That's what I thought.
I mean, I knew the Dave Gahan. I knew he was. He's actually kind of a voracious swordsman from.
Yeah, I looked at because I saw somebody tweeting. I can't remember. They were like, that moment when you realize Depeche Mode, none of them are gay, but some other band, all of them are. And I was like, I can't remember who the other band was.
They're all well Erasure.
But so I went and looked it up, and I was like, holy shit, they all.
Vince Young, who was the original guy and that went on. He went on to be in Yaz and Erasure. He's gay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there we are.
I think
there's someone gay in Depeche Mode.
Do you feel better now?
He just isn't in them anymore.
That was your way of showing support.
Yeah. Well, apparently it was like Vince Young was just like, well, you guys are too straight with me. I'm going to go make music with Andy Bell. My final thought. I pretty much went along. Like I said, this is kind of it's a little goth emo fantasy of Mean Girls, and you know, there's probably not one among us who hasn't been bullied, who didn't wish, like, I really wish more than just something horrible would happen to your tormentors, but I really wish they understood why they're being bitches. And in that sense, I think that it works. It's kind of a wish fulfillment, but I like the device. And as I said, as we both said, this isn't a movie designed for us or our age group. I think the age group that it is designed for is going to like it quite a bit. And I would much rather see them have them watch this than cancer porn, like fucking The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah.
So there you are. I'm going to give it, I'm going to give 7.5 groundhogs out of 10.
You know, I think, once again, I think there is some nuance with how it is dealing specifically with the audience it's meant for here. There's some intelligence behind that. And I do feel like it goes for, like, a really unnecessarily dark note at the end that I actually kind of made me laugh and go, what the fuck, guys? Seriously?
I dug it.
But that's so YA these days to do that sort of thing. But ultimately, this thing doesn't exactly have a dearth of imagination to it. It's borrowing very heavily from previous sources. I mean, when you're stealing the plot, not only from a movie, but that has already been stolen by every genre television show that exists for the last 15 years, you're like, maybe you should come up with something a little different.
Hey, people still watch Christmas Carol.
I mean, it feels like a cross between 80s ABC Family Special and those R.L. Stein for slightly older kids books that he was writing.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But with a little more Camus.
Maybe a little more Camus.
If only they'd killed an Arab in this.
I feel like I have a hard time accepting my gothy, depressed teenagers in, like, vaguely horror-related situations if there's not a giant rabbit telling
you. Okay, well.
Yeah, Donnie Darko.
That was more for you because you knew all the songs.
True. That was my generation.
And as an old curmudgeon, that will be, like, you're like, the first half of the movie, it's all playing, like, shit the teenagers listen to, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. The difference is this is a high school movie for high school kids. Donnie Darko is a high school movie for people looking back at high school in a nostalgic sense. Anyway, this particular movie, like I said, I think I wrote on the card that they give you to sign. I was like Groundhog's Day, if you sucked every drop of joy out of it, because this is the most joyless film I've seen in quite some time.
It's bleaker than Logan. Okay.
Well, but there is joy to be found in Logan, watching Wolverine impale people violently with his claws repeatedly. which I know that makes me a terrible person on some level.
All right.
50 years ago, they would have looked at me in horror.
If there had been more horror elements in this, you probably would have been into it.
Maybe. And maybe if the ending had been tweaked a bit.
Right.
But overall, I found this just to be dull. I give it 3 out of 10 songs I don't recognize.
Wow, all right.
Because there's a lot of those in here. I'm like, I have no...
Well, no,
is
I'm
this
not
popular?
Saying that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like three.
These kids these days.
I hope they make you watch this again.
With their rap music.